welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Professor Jennifer Curtin. Morena, Jennifer, how are you?
Morena, I'm good, thank you.
What a wild time for politics it is at the moment. Let's start with talking about America and then come back to Aotearoa, I reckon, because we might need something a little bit more cheerful to round us off, perhaps. What is going on overseas? It is really hard to follow, I think, for a lot of people, because the electoral system over there is just so very different to what we are used to in New Zealand.
That's right. I mean, I think this is, we saw this with the discussion about Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. You can win the popular vote in the US as a presidential candidate, but it doesn't necessarily mean you win the presidency, because it all sits with this electoral college and how many votes each state brings with it. So right now, what's holding things up, if you like, is there's like about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 states that are still only got around 95% of the vote counted,
right.
And the remaining vote that's left to be counted are the early votes or the advance votes or the postal votes, and each state has completely different rules on how those get counted. So they don't have an electoral commission like we have,
yeah.
And I think for New Zealanders watching this, the complexities and the federal nature of this, so how each state differs, and the risks of, you know, Trump taking things to the Supreme Court and calling this fraudulent, it's just such an anathema for New Zealanders who kind of, I suppose, we almost take our system of elections for granted with the ease and so on, and that's such a complete contrast really for us, especially having had an election 2 weeks ago ourselves so easily, if you like.
Yeah, it's. I think that's the thing that's baffling people, is how are there rules for different states and then something that's meant to tie them all together. It is quite a, you know, complicated system, as you said, and looks kind of like a machine that's not working from the outside in, at least. It does seem to be that people are saying it's going to be tight whatever happens, but I do want to talk a little bit about Trump calling this victory and also sort of saying let's stop voting, you know, no more voting and sort of no more counting as well. And now I think he's talking about machines being broken. And it seems like there's a lot of spin, which I'm sure we're all very used to now with Trump. But this is quite remarkable for a major superpower in the West to be seeing this kind of stuff. What are your thoughts around this?
Well, it's probably true to form, right, for him. Like you say, this is he gets out there, he gets his message, his spin, if you like, on where things are at, and then he follows it up with the tweets, and then the misinformation on a lot of the stuff just flows through. So I was watching him give that speech last night. It was 2 a.m. in the U.S. when he gave it at the White House. It was the most bizarre, you know, speech I've seen, I suppose, from any political leader in a democratic, you know, leading of the free world kind of country. So there's so much misinformation in what he said. I think a lot of commentators are still scratching their heads about why and what he will be able to do when he talks about it being fraudulent and taking it to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's ultimately yet not going to matter, because the pushback from those who are doing the counting in different states like Wisconsin, those who are overseeing that process, are really clear about the transparency with which they are working. They're not going to be bullied into doing anything differently. It's going to take as long as it needs to take to get the Democratic result out there. So, but, you know, in the meantime, it was almost like a call to arms. And it was so divisive, like his opening statement was not a healing one. It was like, let's double down on the fact that we live in a divisive America, you know, and there are lots of divisions and we need to speak to those rather than to let's all pull together, which is the narrative we're all used to in New Zealand, right? Irrespective of which side of politics you come from.
I do want to talk a little bit about what's been going on for New Zealand, because some big stuff has been happening here as well. But before we do that, I did want to get your thoughts on what is going to happen post this election. So whoever comes out the, you know, victor of this situation, there does seem to be a sense I'm getting from the internet and from, you know, media over in the States, that people are gearing up for a really intense period of unrest, whatever happens over in America. What have you been seeing, and what are your thoughts around that? Because that seems like quite an alarming thing for people who will be living over there.
Yeah, I think the visuals of shops and businesses putting boards up in front of their windows it was really quite challenging. I think the thing that's where the risk sits is that the new, irrespective of sort of the more medium term, the new president isn't going to be inaugurated until early January. Mm-hmm. So even once the result is called, we've got Trump in office for another couple of months. And one would imagine that that will not be a peaceful transition period of time. And so there will be, even before we get to new policy making and the new environment and the next term, there's this transition period that's going to be quite fraught, I mm-hmm. think. And I would imagine, I don't know what to predict, I have to say, because these are times that we haven't really seen in American politics, in recent memory at least.
Mm. Well, let's talk a little bit about New Zealand politics, which suddenly seems much tamer when we see it in the global scale, although everything is relative. We've got a new cabinet lineup from Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. What are some of your big takeaways from this? Because it's been remarked on as being quite a diverse cabinet, and also there's been a lot of commentary, especially in the media, around Nanaia Mahuta's appointment to Foreign Affairs as the first Indigenous woman to hold that role in Aotearoa. What are some of the big things you've been taking away from the new cabinet lineup?
Yeah, I think diversity is really important here. That 40% women, 25% Māori, 15% Pacifica, and 15% LGBTQI. So, and that's just around the decision table. So that's just the cabinet, and that diversity is reflected in the outer cabinet, Green Party co-leaders, and the undersecretaries as well. So while internationally there's always been there's been a push to see gender parity, so 50-50 women from, you know, with the increase of women in parliament, especially having a woman prime minister, I think what, you know, my take is that you don't need exact gender parity if you've got this 40-60 split, because if there's diversity amongst the different groups that we see in there. So we're seeing, you know, two of the five Māori who are in cabinet are women. You know, there are two out of the three, 15% Pacifica, are women. So we're seeing intersectional, a more intersectional, if you like, around the table. What's missing is a disabled people's voice here. We have a ministry for disabled services, but it's not the same as having a disabled voice at the decision table. Mm-hmm. And you know, disabled people make up, they're the largest minority group in New Zealand, if you like. 43% of New Zealanders are disabled. And so there aren't any represented in Parliament, let alone Cabinet. So that's something that we still have to fix. But on Nanaia Mahuta, this is a really significant moment. And I think it's really disappointing to have seen so many of the commentators, particularly the older white men, in the community, going off about this as if she has insufficient experience or knowledge or competence. She's been the Associate Minister for Trade and Export in the previous term. And really, like, we're a bicultural country. What kind of message are we giving to the world now? We have Māori economies that are working in the trade space. There is so much she will be able to do for our country and how we want to represent ourselves internationally, that it just blows my mind that people are commenting on this promotion in a negative way.
Jennifer, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's always a pleasure and plenty to talk about. So I'm sure we'll have more time in the next couple of weeks to dive back into some of these topics. And we'll all just be watching the internet, I'm sure, refreshing Twitter incessantly for the next few hours. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem.
Kia ora, bye. You just heard a bit of political commentary.